Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
Acts chapter 2 and verse 22. You ready? Let's go. Fellow Israelites, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. David said about him, I saw the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest in hope, because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead. You will not let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence. Fellow Israelites, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is here to this day. But he was a prophet and knew that God promised him on oath that he would place one of his descendants on his throne. Seeing what was to come, he spoke of the resurrection of the Messiah, that he was not abandoned to the realm of the dead, nor did his body see decay. God raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of it. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear. For David did not ascend to heaven, and yet he said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and to the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? And Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off and all whom the Lord your God, our God, will call. With many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Let's pray. Father, thank you for what you did in the first service and what you'll do now. Let your word go forth sharper than any two-edged sword, living and active. Release life, release revelation. Lift the scales off of people's eyes to see truly who you are. Oh God, have your way right now. We won't stop you. We won't hinder you. Do whatever you want to do. Holy Spirit, come and mark us. And may many, even in this service now, be cut to the heart and say like they said to Peter, what must we do? Release courage when the time comes. Release revelation that brings a revolution, I pray. In Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, amen. You may be seated. Many years ago, I had turned from the Lord. I had received Christ, and through offense, I got offended at God. I got mad at God. I thought he should do something for me a particular way, and it didn't work out like that. So I turned from him. Thank God he didn't turn from me. But I turned from him, and I wound up in a place called Port Jefferson, Long Island, New York. And while I was there, I got a job as a a gym trainer, a personal trainer, and I sold membership at a Gold Gym. And in my state, having turned from the Lord, it came Easter time. And my faithful mother, who's online right now, sent me a card for Easter. And she's done that just about every single year. I was receiving my mail there at the Gold's Gym, and I believe it was Friday on Passover. We were gathered in a meeting, sales meeting for the weekend, and I opened up my mail, a card for my mother, distinctive by her beautiful handwriting. I opened that card and I pulled it out, and it had two words on it. He lives. When I read those two words, he lives, the power of the Holy Spirit hit me. And I began to weep because I had slipped from my relationship with the Lord. I had fallen away from my relationship with God. And I was so convicted. And I felt God's presence and I felt his love wooing me. It's like he wrapped his arms around me. He lives. Well, the owner of the Gold's Gym was leading the meeting, and he said, "Hey, Bracken, what's going on over there?" I said, "I got a card." He said, "I can see that. What's it say?" I said, "It says, he lives." When I said he lives, the owner took a step back and repeated it, "He lives." And when he said it, the whole staff, about 15 or so people, said, "He lives," and God's power just rested on us for a moment. And he said something like, "Wow, he lives." I want you to say that, he lives. All of human history has been affected by what happened 2,000 years ago. All of human history has been affected by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I'm going to prove it to you today. In a special message on this Easter time. We celebrated the Passover on Friday. These Passover lambs, as they were being killed, is the exact same time. The exact same time that Jesus was led out to be crucified. The exact same time they were killing the lambs, God's lamb, Jesus, the Messiah, was led out and crucified. The Lamb of God. And as he died on that cross, he hung there for 6 hours on a Friday. And as he died, the same time lambs were being slaughtered for the Passover, Jesus, the fulfillment of all Old Testament prophecy and the sacrificial system, Jesus in fulfillment of the Old Testament, crucified, died for your sins and mine. And as he hung there, darkness fell. His friends were scattered, the disciples were scattered. Everybody that loved him ran, turned. All seemed lost, but heaven began to count to three. And on the third day, he rose again. Can you say hallelujah? Say he lives. And so Peter's preaching to the crowd. He's preaching to the crowd, and it's quite a message, and we picked it up in the middle, really. He's preaching to this crowd of thousands of people, and Peter's explaining what's happening. And he says, he quotes Joel 2, and he says, "These are not drunk, as you would suppose." Now, why would Peter say that? Any guess? Because they looked intoxicated. They might have been staggering. We don't know exactly what they were doing, but whatever they were doing, it appeared that they were drunk. And that's why he said, "These are not drunk." They were with stammering lips, if I can quote Isaiah, was speaking to them. "These are not drunk." And then the core of his message to those people on that day, where 3,000 people get saved, the core of the message is, Jesus died and rose again. Jesus what? Jesus died and rose again. The death and resurrection of Jesus. That is the core of his whole message. It says there in verse 23, this man was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan. I love that. God had a deliberate plan. It wasn't a chance accident in a chance universe. It was on purpose. It was deliberate. The seed of the woman, right from the book of Genesis chapter 3, born of a virgin, now walked the earth for 33 and a half years, and here he is being crucified, crushing the head of Satan in this crucifixion with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him on the cross. Verse 24, but God raised him from the dead. What'd God do? God raised him from the dead. And he quotes this prophecy from David, this messianic prophecy. Peter reminds his audience of the Davidic covenant, which you can find in 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 14 and 15. It basically says this. God says to David, there will always be one of your descendants on the throne. That's the Davidic covenant. And he quotes the psalmist David, the warring, worshiping king, in Psalm 16, verse 10, he quotes, which is verse 27 of the text we read, but you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead. You will not let your Holy One see corruption. And so the disciples of Jesus are witnesses of the fact. And he says that in verse 32. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of it. Amazing. So 3,000 people get saved. The resurrection is Christianity. If you don't have resurrection, you don't have Christianity. So we're going to take a walk through the book of Acts. Look at quite a few scriptures, because what you find in all the preaching, all the apostolic preaching, the core of it was the centerpiece of all apostolic preaching is the death and resurrection of Jesus. In Acts chapter 3 and verse 14, it says, you disowned the Holy and Righteous One and asked that a murderer be released to you. Verse 15, you killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. There it is. And we're witnesses of this. This is Peter preaching to the crowd after the lame man was strengthened and began leaping and jumping and praising God. A man 40 years old brought to the gate called Beautiful. After he's healed, Peter preaches and says, this is why. Because Jesus was crucified and he rose again from the grave. He rose again from the dead. In Acts chapter 4, they got arrested. They got in trouble. They're standing before the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the rulers and the elders, the couldn't sees and the wouldn't sees. In Acts 4:10, it says, and know this, as he's talking to the leaders, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. The miracles, because, listen, when miracles happen now, and they're happening every service. Some of you are happening one right now. How many of you need a miracle right now? When the name of Jesus is preached, when the name of Jesus is declared crucified and resurrected, your miracle is found in his name, found in that truth, found in the revelation that all of sin, sickness, disease, salvation, everything you need is found in the death and the resurrection of Jesus. Come on, somebody say he lives. Yes. And as I'm preaching, I am seeing all across this place, God beginning to touch people. He's a miracle worker, and he did it through his only son, his one and only son. And he says, this man's healed because Jesus died and rose again from the dead. In Acts chapter 5, verse 30, the God of our ancestors raised Jesus from the dead, whom you killed by hanging him on a cross, but God exalted him to his own right hand as Prince and Savior, that he might bring Israel to repentance and forgiveness of sins. We are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. In Acts chapter 10, Peter been invited to Cornelius's house, who's a Gentile. A Gentile is a non-Jew. So he's invited to the Gentile's house, and by a revelation, he goes into the house, which Jews are not allowed to do, but God resolves that and says, don't call unclean what I call clean. Peter breaks with the law of Israel and says, I'm going in, and he obeys and he preaches. Listen to what he says. We're witnesses, verse 39 of Acts 10. We're witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews in Jerusalem. They killed him, hanging him on a cross, but God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. Verse 41, I'm gonna keep going. And he's seen by all the people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen, by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he's the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins. Wow, it's the same message. Jesus was crucified, Jesus rose again. Jesus is crucified, Jesus rose again. Over and over and over and over and over again. In Acts chapter 13, are you all there? Acts 13 and verse 30. But God raised him from the dead. And for many days he was seen by those who traveled with him from Galilee, Jerusalem. They are now his witnesses to our people. Without the resurrection of Christ, there is no Christianity. Without the resurrection of Christ, there is no Christianity. It does not exist. He said, well, I don't believe that because man wrote that book. I'm going to destroy that argument this morning for a moment, because if resurrection is Christianity, we ought to have a revelation of why it's true. We're not talking about some religion that has a bunch of rules that we need to follow. He said, doesn't Christianity have rules? Yes, true. Ten Commandments, Old Testament, you should obey the Ten Commandments. Come on, give me an amen. Amen. Can you? The answer is no. I'll help you. No, you can't. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The law points to the fact that we can't do it. And so because we can, and God so loves us that he sent his only son, Jesus, fully God, fully man, to die on a cruel cross for you, for me. And then on the third day, rise again from the dead. Jesus lives. He's alive today. Come on, somebody say, woo! First Corinthians 15, 17. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. Useless, futile. It's of no use. If he didn't rise from the dead, what we're doing, we're to be pitied amongst all people if he didn't. This is the stupidest thing we're doing right now, if he didn't rise from the dead. But he did. Come on, somebody said he lives. Absolutely right, he lives. So Easter is not about the bunny or the egg. Those are pagan symbols, actually. Worship of Astarte and all kinds of craziness. We're not worshiping the bunny or the egg, but I will eat a few of them today. I don't know if I'm going to eat a few bunnies. I'm definitely going to have a couple eggs. It's about the resurrection, and the resurrection of Christ is a historical event, and it shatters all of history. It's about the resurrection, and it shatters all of history. The empty tomb shatters all of history. Without the resurrection, again, there's no Christianity. So the resurrection of Christ is a historical event, and Peter said we're all witnesses, which is amazing. So again, it's not some theological nicety or a fragment of some crazed people that got together to make up some story. No, it's real people in a real place. And keep in mind that Peter's preaching, he's preaching to people that were there. He's where he preaches, it's walking distance from the tomb. I don't know if you've ever been to Israel, but where he's preaching right there, you could walk to where Jesus was buried in the tomb. Peter denied the Christ, and now he's put his life on the line preaching Jesus is the risen Lord. Why would he do that? What happened? But just think about the transformation that took place. Peter, who ran from a girl, a little girl at a fire, denying the Lord, runs away, scared that he's going to get killed. But now he comes out caring less what people think, caring less if they crucify him too. Something happened to that boy. He got transformed. He got transformed because he saw the risen Savior and was filled with the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. Can you say amen? Amen. Can you say a better amen? Amen? And so he didn't care what happened to him, and in fact, he was martyred himself. And the other disciples moved from being scaredy cats to boldly proclaiming Jesus is Lord. Jesus is the Messiah. Peter and Paul both martyred in Rome, 66 AD. Paul was beheaded. Peter was crucified, but upside down, because he didn't want to be crucified the same way that Jesus was, because he was unworthy, he said. No, not like, please just hang me upside down. That'll do. Andrew was killed preaching the gospel in what we know now to be Russia and modern-day Turkey in Asia Minor. He was crucified as well. Thomas, probably most active in the area of Syria. Tradition has him preaching as far east as India. And they claim that he died pierced through by the spears of four soldiers. Philip, tremendous ministry in Carthage, North Africa, also Asia Minor. And it is said of Philip that he converted a Roman proconsul's wife. And when he converted her, the proconsul killed him, martyred for Christ. Matthew, the tax collector, you remember Matthew? Writer of the book of Matthew. He was also stabbed to death in Ethiopia. Bartholomew, widespread missionary travels attributed to him in India. Some say he worked with Thomas, Ethiopia, southern Arabia. He was also martyred for his faith. James, the son of Alphaeus, is one of least of three James referred to in the New Testament. It is believed and said by Josephus that he was stoned, then clubbed to death. Simon the Zealot, killed, refusing to sacrifice to the sun god in Persia. Matthias, the one who replaced Judas, death by burning. John, they tried to boil him in oil and that couldn't kill him. Now, you got to ask yourself, no, seriously, ask yourself, how is it that every single disciple of the Lord Jesus was martyred? You'd happily die for something that's the truth. If you know it's the truth, then you're fine giving up your life. But some people say, no, it was a lie, and they're trying to manipulate people, and they're dying. Okay, you would never die for something that's a lie. Can you imagine, oh yeah, they're going to dip me in oil right now. Where is the incense to burn to, what incense do I need to burn to who? Caesar? Fine. Where? Because we ain't doing the French fry thing. I'm done. We were just kidding. No, they boil him and he lives. How does that happen? Boiling oil. Because the same power that raised Jesus from the dead caused him to be sustained, caused him to live. And he ended up in a place called Patmos, and he wrote the book of Revelation to the seven churches of Asia that are so important to us even today. No, all of them died as martyrs. How is that? Because the resurrection of Jesus from the dead is true. And there's many other convincing proofs. People knew what he was saying is true. The empty tomb stands as an enigma in all of history. And some idiots would say this. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about people that say this. It's the wrong tomb. They went to the wrong, there's a wrong tomb theory. Hey, Pastor Karen and I had a baby that died many years ago. It was a very challenging time, a son that passed, very difficult time. And we had a beautiful celebration of life. And we had a funeral and all of that. And we had a burial. I could walk there with my eyes closed And I could tell you, right, where if there was no headstone and there's nothing there, no markers, I could tell you right where my son is buried. I could point right to the place and tell you. Anybody have someone that's passed? Anybody have a grave site where your mama is, or maybe where your dad is, or your grandpa? Anybody know? Anybody have something like that? It's not the kind of thing you forget. Let me just tell you, when Jesus was crucified and they put him in a tomb, there's no way that they didn't know what tomb it was. That attributes stupidity on behalf of many people. That's not what happened. Some say the Romans stole the body. Oh, yeah. These are theories people come up with, well, how the resurrection is not true. Some say the Romans stole it. Oh, yeah, that's what they do. They steal the body, make themselves look like idiots, and have basically a revolution on their hands. Or some people say, well, the swoon theory. This is an actual thing. You can write this down. Swoon theory. It's not in your notes. Put it in the margin. The swoon theory says something along these lines. Well, there's these missing years of Jesus. After he's 12, we don't know where he's at. And so then he appears again when he's 30. And so during those years, he went to India and became a swami and learned to slow down his heart and actually produce a coma-like state. So he appeared dead. So when they put him in the tomb, he wasn't actually dead. He was just appearing dead, having stopped his heart. And what's crazy about that is that then would attribute stupidity to all Roman soldiers. And let me tell you, if anybody knew how to kill someone, it was a Roman. They were masters at execution. They knew how to inflict the most amount of pain. And I promise you, the sword in his side, he was dead. I said, he was dead. But he is alive. Come on, somebody say he's alive.
He's alive.
Another ridiculous theory is mass hallucinations. People actually write these things. Mass hallucinations. Oh, 500 people hallucinate that they saw him ascend into the heavens. For 40 days, he walks the earth and he talks to them and he meets with them. So for 40 days, people have mass hallucinations? No. No, that's not what happened. He rose again from the grave. The gospel story is true. I said the gospel story is true. It's amazing. No, history. It's history. He broke through the darkness of history like a bright light, like a beacon in the night to the lost and the hurting. The gospel story is true. You know, if I was to write a story, somebody said, well, maybe a man wrote it. No, man didn't write it. But think about this. Here's another thing. When he, on that Sunday, now we have church on Sunday because he rose again early Sunday morning, just like Jesus. He rose again on Sunday morning. That's why we have church on Sunday morning. Okay. So if you think about who's the first person that saw the empty tomb? Anybody know? It's a woman. Now, let me just stop there. Praise God for women. And all the women said, yes. Okay, praise God for women. However, if you were in the first century when this took place, a woman was counted as nothing. You couldn't vote. You couldn't do anything. You had no rights. Okay. So you would not have a woman be the first one to say, he's not there. Listen to me right now. He's not there. That's number one. You wouldn't have a woman. Never mind the kind of woman she was. She was a prostitute who had been delivered. So you have a woman, a prostitute, a woman of ill repute who had seven devils cast out of her. Seven. The number of completeness. So she's a woman, she was a prostitute, and she was demonized, and she's the first one. She's the first one. Like, wouldn't you pick somebody else? How about have Pilate come discover? How about Caesar discovers? You know, if you're writing it, I'm not going to write that. That doesn't even, nobody would believe that. Why is that written? Because that's what happened. That's what happened. No, we would do all kinds of different things if we were writing it. No, the gospel story is true. I'd have Jesus appear to Pilate. He'd soil himself on the spot. That's not what happens. No, he lives. Come on, say he lives.
He lives.
All right. How the resurrection affects us today. Well, the first thing is we're forgiven. Everybody say we're forgiven. Well, you're not forgiven unless you apply the truth. So you're not forgiven just because you came to church, and I'm glad you did. Our first service was full. This service is full tonight. I believe it'll be full. I'm going to flow in the Spirit of God tonight, power of the gifts tonight, and preach, pray, and prophesy tonight. Don't want to miss it. But you don't get saved or born again or forgiven of your sin because you showed up. In the closing moments of this message, I'm not going to preach much longer to you. You're going to go and have a wonderful Easter lunch and eat rack of lamb or whatever you're going to do. Spring potatoes. But in the closing moments, I'm going to ask you to acquire some courage, because some of you are not right with God, and coming to the service doesn't make you right. And doesn't you're not forgiven because you came here, this big, beautiful building. You're not forgiven because you showed up and you sat through my sermon, my message that I give you. No, no. You're not forgiven for any of those things any more than a monkey putting on a suit can make him part of the human race. You can stand in your garage as much as you want to. You will never be a car. And you will never be a truck. You can stand in your garage. It doesn't make you an automobile any more than coming to church makes you a Christian. You're forgiven when you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, that Jesus was crucified and rose again on the third day, and you repent. That is the only thing that can wash away your sin. It's the only thing that washes away mine. We can be forgiven. Wow. The resurrection of Jesus from the dead validates that what he did on the cross takes away death for you and me. There have been many teachers throughout history. Buddha, Confucius, Muhammad. Muhammad is not God. Confucius is not God. Buddha is not God. There's been many men, sages throughout history that would teach and have ideas about life and how to have a good life, but none of them died and rose again. Christianity is the only religion, and I don't even like calling it that because it's a relationship. It's the only religion where God reaches down to take your hand and mine. It's the only religion where God, while we were yet sinners, reached to save us, to heal us, to deliver us. All other religions, all other world religions, is man reaching up to God, hopelessly frustrating, or trying to remember that they are God. No, you didn't come out of some primordial slime. You're not a complex set of reactions that took place, or you didn't evolve from an ape. You were made in God's image, and God so loved you that he sent his only son to die in your place and mine. And he rose again from the grave, and you enter into that relationship by receiving his gift. It's the only way. Can you say amen? He's the way, the truth, and the life. Can you say a better amen? Do you have to get so, amen? Do you have to get so excited about it? Yes. It's going to hell. It's broken. Was lost, was wounded, was rejected. Oh, but he took it for me. So now I'm healed, I'm whole. My name is written along with all who believe on Jesus. My name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Can you say amen? Amen. See, you don't need a teacher. Our problem is we don't need a teacher, we need a savior. Our problem is that we have sin that separates us from God. Heaven's our home when we receive Christ. Heaven's our home, 2 Corinthians 4 and 14. Because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus to present us with you to himself. Heaven. My, my, my. We can be forgiven. Heaven can be our home. What a beautiful thing. You're going to live forever. I said, you're going to live forever. He says, everybody going to live forever? Yes, everybody's going to live forever. Where you live, that's dependent upon you. That's dependent upon your decision of whether you live for Christ or not. If you reject him, There's only one sin that God can't forgive you of. There's only one. Some of you look at me like I'm a heretic. There's only one sin that God can't forgive you of. You know what that is? You not receiving Jesus as the payment for your sin. That is the only thing he can never forgive you of. It's because you reject him. That's it. There's no other way. We can be filled with the Holy Spirit. We can be filled with the Holy Spirit. Passage that Peter reads here. Receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Wow. The power of the Spirit flowing through us. We are a Spirit-filled church. That is who we are. Make no apologies for it. It's fascinating in the beginning verses that we read, Jesus, a man accredited to you by signs, wonders, and miracles. You know how you know that God's with you? You want to know how? You see signs, wonders, and miracles. You were like, I don't see them nearly as much as I'd like. Well, why don't you fight for that? Why don't you contend for that? If Jesus lives on the inside of you, you carry breakthrough. Come on, the breaker is on the inside of you. The healer, he's on the inside of you. Come on, the deliverer, he's on the inside of you. We can be healed. We've seen so many miracles taking place, and it's just the very beginning. We can be healed, delivered from demon power. We can be delivered from demon power. What do you mean, demon power? Well, some of you here might be under the effects of demon power. Let's try this. Just look at your neighbor for a moment. Go ahead. If you see red eyes looking back at you, just raise your hand. No. My hands are going up all over. Be healed. Be delivered. There is demon power that wants to operate. But it's not popular to teach and preach that. But it's the truth. Come on, you'll know the truth and the truth will set you free. There is demon power. And I'm a Christian. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. But if you meddle with, you play with that, you trifle with that idol, you open yourself up that door of pornography, you do stuff that'll end up getting you demonized. Yep. Now, I said demonized, I didn't say possessed, and there's a lot of discussion about that. You can be bound by demon power as a believer. Yeah. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. Amen. Some of you are like, really? Yeah, really. But because of what Jesus has done, you can be healed of disease, you can be delivered from demon power, and you can have the life of God flow through you. Hebrews 2:14, since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity that by his death, he might break the power of him who holds the power of death. That is the devil. I break the devil off of people right now in the name of Jesus. Let's have a praise break. Hey. Yay. Free those who all their lives, verse 15 of Hebrews 2, all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. You don't have to be bound anymore. You don't have to be sick anymore. You don't have to be poor anymore. Don't have to be bound no more. Don't have to be sick no more. You can be healed by the power of the name of Jesus because he lives. Say it again, he lives. No more bondage, no more bondage. Now I'm free from the enemy. Sun sets free. Is free indeed. No more bondage, just glorious liberty. No more bondage, no more bondage. Yes. Now I'm free from the enemy. Cause who the Son sets free is free indeed. No more bondage, just glorious liberty. I don't have to be sick no more. Don't have to be poor no more. Don't have to be bound no more by the enemy. Cause who the Son sets free is free indeed. No more bondage, just glorious liberty. Put your hands together for Jesus. Come on, he'll He'll set you free. I said He'll set you free. He'll heal you. He lives. He's not a dead God. He's on the throne, and He loves you, and He cares for you, and He makes a way out of no way. He brings streams in the desert. Can you say hallelujah? Wow. We can live holy. Bunch of scripture here in Romans. Romans 6:4. We can have a new life. Romans 8:11. All right. Worship team, would you come? We too can have a new body. I love this. You get to heaven, you get a glorified body. Thank God. Chocolate covered manna. Eat heavenly bonbons. Never have to touch another weight. You know, we got this idea of what a heavenly body would be, maybe. We have no clue of what that means. Oh, I really have no clue, but we're going to get a new one. Come on, somebody said, I'm getting a new one. You still should take care of the one that you have. It's the only one that you have, and it's the temple of the Holy Spirit. You said, well, I'm trying to quit smoking, Pastor. Good. Smoking, you know, will kill you. He said, will Pastor take you to hell? Make you smell like you've been there. And there is some arguments that it's an idol. Well, let's move on. Because He lives, we can live holy and a life that pleases God. Colossians 6:1 says this. Since then, we've been raised with Christ. Set your heart on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things, for you died. And your life is now hidden with Christ in God. See, I think that is probably part of the problem that many have. They don't realize. See, that's what baptism is. You've been identified with Christ. Galatians 2:20, no longer I that live, but Christ lives in me. See, most people think they're still alive. You say, well, I'm breathing. I know you're breathing, but you must be born again. That's a new life. That's the new life. Christianity is not you have to obey a bunch of rules. Christianity is come and die. That's Christianity. Come and die and receive new life. Born again. Many people don't die. They just keep living their life the way they want to, and they wonder where the life of God is flowing. It isn't, because you're still thinking you're alive. You need to reckon yourself dead. Verse 5 of Colossians 6, put to death therefore whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, greed, which is idolatry. You see, the moment you embrace Jesus, you will be changed. The moment you embrace everything He's done, you say, well, I've been to church and I prayed that prayer. Nothing changed. That's because you didn't repent, son, ma'am, sir. Sister, you didn't repent. Repent. That's different than just praying some little prayer and a little crocodile tear. No, repentance is. Peter talked about it. Repentance is the key. Examine your heart all across this place as we bring this message to a close on this Resurrection Sunday. I talked to you about having courage in the first part of the service. You remember that? This is the part where you're going to need it. If you're here and you've never repented, you've never given your life to Christ, you've never done it, and you realize, as we've preached and proven the resurrection of Jesus, that you're not right. You've not received Him. You've not been born again. You've not repented of your sin and believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. You're not saved. Oh, you might come to church. 20 years you might have been coming. I'm thankful that you are. Make a decision for Christ. All across this place, you want to give your heart to Jesus for the first time. You've never done it. Number two, you did give your life to Christ like I did as I was in my 20s, but turned from Him until I got that card. He lives. My heart began to be drawn back to God, and I eventually came back to him, thank God. I never turned away after that. It's hard to walk out of step with God and to be in rebellion, but no, he's real. Oh, he's real, and he's reaching to you. He's reaching to you through my voice right now, online, all across this place, out in the lobby, in our overflow room. He's reaching to you. If you're not right with God, won't you get right with him? He loves you. He loves you. He's reaching to you through his word on this Resurrection Sunday. He's reaching to you. He loves you. He died to get to know you. If this was your last day, if this was the last day you breathed your last, where would you go? God forbid this is your last day. Where would you go when you die? Instantly, where would you go? You'd either be in the presence of the Lord or you'd be in a place that was never created for you, is created for the devil and his minions. You must be born again. You must receive Jesus. You say, that's so intense, Pastor. I know. This is what America needs to hear. This is the only hope for America. You gotta be born again. You've never given your heart to Jesus. Don't leave this service. Don't turn off the broadcast without being born again. Give your life to Christ for the first time, or number two, make a recommitment, because you drifted like I did in my 20s. You're gonna come home. Every head bowed all across this place, intercessors pray. You wanna get right with God first time, or you wanna recommit? All across this place, those online, you say, that's me, Pastor. In a moment, I'm going to ask you to lift your hand. If you're serious about it, you want to get right with God, I want you to lift your hand. First time or recommitment. When I count to three, don't let anything hold you back. And I will tell you, in the end, there's not going to be anybody next to you. So it doesn't matter who's next to you today. In the end, you'll stand before a holy God to give an account for your life. And either your blood has washed away your sin, or you will stand in judgment of not receiving him. You say, that's me. On the count of three, raise your hand. One, two, all across this place. Three, do it right now. God bless you, God bless you, God bless you. Raise your hand high. God bless you, God bless you. Keep your hand up until I acknowledge your hand. I see all those hands on the right side. Thank you. In this middle section, raise your hand high. I see your hand, son. Thank you. I see your hand. I see your hand. Thank you. Thank you. In this middle section, God bless you, God bless you, God bless you. I see your hand. I see that hand. Wonderful. God bless you. Over on this left side, lift your hand high, unashamed. God bless you. God bless you. My, my, my. God bless you. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. All the way over on the left. God bless you. Praise God. Stand up on your feet all across this place. Here's what I want to do. As soon as Minister Toby begins to sing, if you raised your hand or you didn't, but you know you need to be included in this prayer, I'm going to invite you to come meet me right here. There'll be many others that are coming with you. So don't let anything hold you back. As soon as he begins to sing, you come and we're going to pray together, and your sin is going to be forgiven, and Jesus is going to come to live inside of your heart. Ready, set, go. Come on, come. Come right now. Come as close to my hand as you can. Church, you should go nuts right now. Come on, come on, come. Come on, come. Come on, come on. Come on, come, 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 come on, church. Come on, come, they're coming from all over. Make your way from the back row. Come all the way up front. Don't stop clapping. It's the greatest miracle. We're going to pray this prayer, and in this moment of praying, y'all look at me. Come on, look at me. In this moment of praying, everything you've ever done wrong will be wiped out. It'll be wiped out. He won't remember it anymore. He died. He died for that thing. It's all right, son. It's all right. Wonderful. New life. Come on. It's a new start. It's a new start. Do you remember when you received Jesus? Do you remember that day? Come on, give God praise right now. Come on. Hey, welcome to the kingdom. Now pray this. Close your eyes if that helps you. Pray this out loud. You say, do I have to do it out loud? Yes, you do. Why? Because the Bible says you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth unto salvation. Yes, do it right out loud. I'm proud of you for coming up front. Took courage. You know, there's a couple more people that need to come. Just a couple more. We'll wait for you. We're going to wait for you. Sing it one more time. Oh, come to, if that's you, come.
The altar.
Right on.
The Father's arms are.
God bless you. God bless you over here. Come on, come. Come on. Sing it with all your heart. There's room for you. KSM students, you're helping me. Come. Every single KSM student, respond to the altar, please. Oh, my. Come, just come a little closer. Make room. We're glad you're here. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Come on. Come on. Pray with me right out loud. Come on, right out loud. And from your heart, say, Dear Heavenly Father, I believe that you sent Jesus to die on a cross for my sin. And I believe that on the third day, he rose again from the grave. Forgive me for all of my sin. I'm sorry. Wash me, cleanse me in your blood. Thank you that you died for me so that I can live. So live in my heart now. Come into my life now. And write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And thank you for loving me. Thank you for hearing my prayer. Lift your hands to heaven, a universal sign of surrender, that's all. Lift a hand to heaven, lift two hands to heaven. Close your eyes. And as you do, God's power comes on you. I break the power. I break demonic power off of these who've been bound, those that are got fetters of iron, a chain or addiction, unforgiveness. Lord, I break the power of that. And I declare today that they are born again, made new. Now fill them full of your spirit right now. Be filled. Be healed.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to King's Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com and may God's face shine upon you.